Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever stood on the shoreline of the ocean, watching the waves as they come crashing in? It's powerful, isn't it? Probably you could not resist the urge to run out and chase the waves, or at least stand about ankle deep as the waves rise up on the beach. Do you remember the pull of the water around your feet, eroding the sand under your feet as the waves return back out into the ocean? Stand there for a moment, remembering that feeling, and ask yourself this question. Is that a picture of what it feels like as society erodes all around us, as we watch the moral and ethical implosion? We've been challenged in the past few days by Peter's words, written 2,000 years ago to Christians in the Roman Empire who were living under great persecution coming at them from every direction. Yesterday, we dealt with the very relevant question, what do we do when our desire to live a God-honoring life is countered by authorities who demand that we do things contrary to God's truth or God's morality, or we stop doing certain things which honor God? If you missed yesterday's Walking with Jesus, I urge you to read or listen to it. I believe it may give you some important wisdom if you sometimes find yourself between a rock and a hard place in trying to live wisely as the tide of society is washing away all morals and ethics. Today, Peter continues. Are we ready for what Peter has to say? 1 Peter 2:16. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's people. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of Christians. Fear God. Honor the human authorities. Peter loves to remind us that as redeemed people of God, we are delivered from the condemnation of our past, Romans 8:1, and from our sin bondage. We are free to make wise choices every day in living God-honoring lives, Galatians 5:1. How we use our God-given freedom is very important. Showing respect to others is one of the ways we do this. I've had the privilege of visiting some Asian countries, and in many of them, people slightly bow to each other as part of their greeting. It's a show of respect. Compare that to how you are greeted as people approach you, or how you begin a conversation with someone. We also remember that Jesus had said to his disciples, "Love one another as I have loved you. Then they will know that you are really my disciples," John 13. Do words like unconditional, selfless, sacrificial, long-suffering, patient, describe how Jesus loved his disciples? How do you see those same traits in the love you extend to other Christians? Fear God is a phrase we don't often use, but it's found all over the Bible. Yes, it's true, the judgment of God upon wickedness is something horrific and to be feared, as we see particularly in the Old Testament, but also in the final judgment of the lake of fire for Satan and his demons and those who have rejected Jesus, Revelation 20. But a healthy fear of God is also found when you live in deep awe and reverence for God's majesty, his holiness, his power and mercy and grace. May I ask, do you have a healthy sense of fear as you contemplate the almighty, holy, majestic, eternal Creator God? And that last phrase Peter wrote, honor the authorities, builds, of course, on what we looked at yesterday. But it also fits with what Peter wrote next. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Now let's be careful, friends. Peter is not advocating or celebrating slavery. On the contrary, slavery was a deeply ingrained part of the culture of the Roman Empire and most societies of that day everywhere in the world. Slavery has been an institution going way back to the very earliest civilizations. In many cases, it provided the only way of survival for poor people who could not otherwise survive without being cared for, protected, and provided for by a master as repayment for their work. Of course, we all know history is filled with horrific examples of oppressive slavery And that is an abomination to God, as all injustice is. Peter is bringing wisdom to all people who work for some type of remuneration in every society. God honor employees will honor their employer with good work, even if they are mistreated by their employer or their supervisor. You may remember the story of Onesimus, who evidently had run away from his abusive master Philemon, even though Philemon claimed to be a Christian. The Apostle Paul had led Onesimus to trust in Jesus Christ. Then Paul wrote a letter to Philemon, challenging him to receive Onesimus back and reconcile their relationship. Considering that both master and slave were accountable to God for their behavior, and both now claimed Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. You'll find that story in the little letter in the New Testament titled Philemon. The Holy Spirit of God wanted readers of Peter's letter in the first century, and every century since then, right up to the present time, to acknowledge that abusive employers or supervisors or authorities or teachers or police or even parents are prevalent in every society, in every generation. Why? Because of the prevalence of sin and evil in our lives and our world. Our sinful nature breeds pride, arrogance, selfishness, abusiveness in all of us. Only Jesus can free us from that horribleness. So Peter wants us Christians who find ourselves on the receiving end of injustice and bigotry and prejudice and persecution to understand that this behavior is evidence of the stronghold of sin in the abusive person's life. Only God can free them from that sin bondage as they trust Jesus to save them. But until that deliverance happens, Peter challenges us who may be living or working in that painful situation to honor God in our perseverance as we do not retaliate, but do the very best job we can, which will honor God under the circumstances. And we pray for God to work his mighty life change work in the person who's persecuting us. And finally, do you notice Peter points to Jesus as the example in all this? Remember, Peter is probably writing his letter from a prison cell in Rome. His crime? Refusing to stop talking about Jesus. As Peter was arrested and beaten and imprisoned, for Peter, the memories of Peter watching Jesus arrested and beaten and even crucified without any retaliation was Peter's motivation for God-honoring living in his suffering. Now let's pause right here, and I urge you to read the remaining few verses of 1 Peter chapter 2, and then talk with Jesus about what these verses mean in your personal painful situation. Ask God to show you how to practically live this in 2023. And here's a song to help us live for God's honor in the painful stuff of life.